It is a wonderful thing to be able to enjoy the freedom that we have in this country, to be able to assemble, to be able to gather, be able to praise God together, be able to encourage one another. I think we take that for granted too much of the time, that is not a privilege, that is not a freedom that a lot of people in other countries enjoy. And I just pray that we will take advantage of our freedoms, that we have the freedom to do it. Let's do it. Praise God. Amen. And if we have the freedom also to express our faith in our community, then praise God, we can do that. There are those who may want to curtail some of those freedoms, but as long as we have the freedom and God gives us the ability, let us use those freedoms. Amen. We are going to be talking about something we are really freed to do, and that is to produce and display the fruit of the Spirit. We are freed to do that. It is something we're going to see in our study today that we would be incapable of doing if it wasn't for God, again, enabling us to do that, freeing us from the burdens that we have so often that curtail that display. How many have ever gone to, by the way, maybe a reception of some kind of celebration, maybe it's a wedding reception or something like that, and they have a beautiful fruit display? Have you ever done that? You know, maybe they've got the watermelon carved out, you know, and they got some watermelon inside that, and then they've got some of, well, it's just beautiful. It almost looks too good to eat. But we eat it, yeah. Well, guess what? God has a beautiful display that He wants to put on through us and in us. And sometimes we might think it's too good to be true. It's just a centerpiece, isn't it? No. It's a lot more than that. We're going to be talking about that in the weeks to come. I can't say how many times that I have really preached on or taught about the fruit of the Spirit. I really don't know. I certainly don't know how many hundreds, if not thousands of times, I've probably referenced Galatians chapter 5 in this particular text. Yet it seems more than appropriate that we visit this, if you will, wonderful and beautiful garden of spiritual delight from time to time. That we, once again, look over it, consider it, and yes, they thank God for this display of fruit, but recognize it's more than just for us to look at and say, wow, that's wonderful, that's great, but for us to claim, for us to take into our lives. In Galatians 5, verse 16 and following, the Apostle Paul writes this, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The acts of the sinful nature, it says, are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy." He goes on, "drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." Then he says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Now, we read through them. Many of you perhaps memorized the fruit of the Spirit. You know, maybe when you were in Sunday school as a child, or maybe it was a VBS, or maybe something else, because often those are themes, aren't they, that are repeated. As the fruit of the Spirit is a theme of a Sunday school or a VBS. So let's just see if you can recite them with me, okay? Now, this slide may not help you. They're all up there, but they're not in the order that they are in the Scripture, okay? There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's nine of them that are listed there. So we want you to maybe make that a goal, if you haven't memorized them, to do that. But more than just memorize them, claim them for yourself. These are admirable qualities, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say? Admirable qualities. Even, if you will, desirable qualities. Because we admire them when we see them in others, don't we? And we really relish it when we see those things coming from other people, especially in their interaction with us. I mean, how many of you like to see people exude love? And how many like to see folks, you know, just beaming with joy? And on it goes, right? We want to be treated gently and kindly, right? We want to be treated with gentleness, like I say, and goodness. We want people to be loyal and faithful to us. And when they make commitments, we want that. We desire those things. We admire those things. But too often, that's not what we deal with. Too often, when we are dealing with people, when we're interacting with people, the fruit of the Spirit is not what comes from them. And let's be honest, sometimes it's not what comes from us either. So we want to be admiring them, but desiring them as well. Amen? We want to be doing that. Why don't we display more fruit of the Spirit? Why don't we? Did you notice in the text the rotten fruit? It's not called that, but there's some rotten fruit in the text. Did you notice it? The first time that I attempted to teach on what the NIV calls the acts of the sinful nature, what the King James Version called the works of the flesh, I was using the King James Bible. And I knew, because I was trying to teach some teens, and I knew I was going to have some difficulty, some trouble, because the King James uses words like fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, variance, emulation, seditions, heresies, and reveling. Now, it says the works of the flesh or the acts of sinful nature are obvious. But, you know, I confess, it wasn't that obvious to me what those things meant. And I knew it wasn't going to be that obvious to the teens either, what those things meant. So, guess what I did? I retrieved a Bible dictionary, which was helpful, okay, to try to explain again what these things even meant that are called the acts of sinful nature, works of the flesh. The NIV, which we read, uses some clearer terms for the most part. But what in the world is debauchery or debauchery, depending on how you pronounce it? What is that? I had to look that up too, okay? Even looked that up, you know, and the closest I could come to in trying to melt it down and condense it and really try to explain to people what it means is the idea of total depravity, reckless behavior, without any moral inhibitions. You know, without any sense of this is right or wrong, just doing whatever you felt like doing, whenever you felt like doing it. Now, you don't know anybody like that, do you? Who operates that way? We never operate that way, right? We certainly shouldn't. But Paul is pretty clear about something here. We can't expect to bear the fruit of the Spirit if our hearts and lives are filled with such stinking thinking and bad behavior. He said they're in conflict with one another. See, they're contrary to one another. They won't coexist. That's what he said. They don't. And we so often want to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, but we're not willing to let go of that other stuff. I need a volunteer. Let me see. I'm always picking on Bryce. Come here, Bryce. Come on. Bryce, come on. I'm just wanting somebody young and spry. Step right up here. I want you to do something for me. Okay? I want you to pour all these beautiful, beautiful colored little stones into this jar. Please, would you do that, please? What do you mean they're not going to fit?
It's not fit. Are you sure?
What's the problem? I want all those in there. Why won't? Wait, you're making a mess. I expect you to pick all those up where you go. What's the problem?
It won't fit.
Why?
Because it's already full.
It's already full. Huh. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bryce.
That's it.
I was actually afraid he was going to make a mess by trying to pour out the pebbles, you know, and to make room. Because that's what you'd have to do, isn't it? You would have to remove what's in the jar to put in the good in the jar. you'd have to remove one to make room for the other, right? I mean, simple enough illustration. Could that be true spiritually speaking? Paul seems to be saying that. We want the fruit of the Spirit. When we're trying to say, God, fill me with the fruit of the Spirit, there's not room in our hearts and minds for it like there needs to be. Could bad fruit actually stifle the good fruit that God intends for us, therefore, to produce and display? Could it be that one reason I'm not more patient and kind is because my selfish ambitions and my fits of rage don't leave room for those characteristics to take root and develop? Could it be? No wonder the Scriptures, again, urge us, as we saw in Galatians there, to empty ourselves of the corrupt fruit first. That needs to happen. He says this is what the works of the flesh are. This is the sinful nature. They're there. But this is the fruit of the Spirit. We desire the fruit of the Spirit, but if we're full, see, of the other stuff, if that defines us, is there room for the things of the Spirit? Consider Ephesians chapter 4, 22 and following as well. Again, we saw this when we were talking about why church, that the Apostle Paul does not just address one church in a locality about a subject that's very, very important. Matter of fact, he addresses it over and over again in his letters to other churches. In Ephesians 4, we find this. Now, if you'd like to follow along, that would be great. Is on page 1821 is where it begins of your pew Bibles, if you want to follow along. There's only going to be some highlights on the screen. It says in verse 22, it says, "You were taught with regard to your former life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. We're all members of one body. In your anger," he says, verse 26, "do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." And then verse 29, he says, "Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Then verse 31, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Now, do you notice the emphasis is on cleaning out the clutter of selfish and sinful attitudes and desires from our hearts to make room for the fresh fruit that God has in store for us? Same emphasis, isn't it? Got to get rid of some stuff to make room for that which God desires for us to possess and to display. Now, it seems evident to me from these two passages, this is not an option if we want to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Doesn't seem like it's, you know, an option. Well, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't think I need to do that. No, it's not an option. It's an absolute necessity. Absolute necessity. Paul stresses this in the Colossian letter as well. As I said, if he repeats an idea, should we get the idea that it is very important? If he addresses more than one church about this issue, evidently more churches than one have this issue. Calvary Christian Church doesn't have this issue. Praise God, right? We're just so full of the fruit of the Spirit, all of us, and that's all that we ever display, that we don't have this issue. We don't have to hear this, right? I would say wrong. Remember, don't get too cocky, suggesting that you've arrived with this here altogether. But listen to Colossians 3, verse 5 and following. Once again, I'm going to read this. You can follow along if you'd like. It is a page 1834 in the text. There'll just be some highlights, once again, on the screen for you. This is Colossians 3, beginning in verse 5. He says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." Before it was, you know, they needed to expel it. Here's how to put it to death. And he lists sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. He says, "You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these." Then he lists some: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Verse 9, "Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free." In other words, this isn't just for some people. This is for all of God's people. It says, "But Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Now, it's interesting that the image that he has here is putting off and putting on, but still the same idea. If you look at those things that he lists that are good qualities, characteristics God wants us to have, don't they sound a lot like the fruit of the Spirit? Absolutely they do. And when he compares those things that need to be taken off, don't they sound a lot like what we read in Galatians, that are the works of the flesh or the acts of sinful nature? Yes. So it's a repeated theme, isn't it? A repeated theme. How many of you have ever seen maybe a homeless person in the winter time, particularly, who they don't have a suitcase or stuff to carry, so what they do is they layer up, right? They have some clothes, and they have clothes over clothes, and clothes over clothes, and clothes over clothes, right? They do. That's how they're carrying around their wardrobe, right? Now, we, however, we maybe go for the layered look in the winter ourselves to a degree, but we have closets full of clothes, right? And wardrobes and drawers. The image here is that, you know what, you just don't put the fruit of the Spirit on top of the works of the flesh or the sinful nature. You don't do that. You get rid of the other before you can be clothed with the fruit of the Spirit, the good things of God, the characteristics of God. And sometimes we're trying to layer on instead of take off first before we put on what God has for us. So, there again, three passages of Scripture, three different letters, Paul writes, all the same theme, the consistent theme. Before the fruit of the Spirit can take root in our lives, some other things have to be uprooted. They really do. Now, you might be thinking, forget those jars. You're not full of rotten fruit. Maybe you have a couple of rotten apples in your batch, but just a couple, and that's not a big deal, right? If I just have a couple, I'm not full of rotten fruit. So there's room for the Spirit in a lot of places in my life, just maybe not every place. Well, you've heard it said. You can say it. One rotten apple does what? Spoils the bunch. The whole bunch. Is that true? Is that even true? Does that happen? Well, yes, it is. Absolutely, it is. Some fruits like apples and pears ripen, and when they do, they produce a gaseous hormone called ethylene. And if we store our fruit together and some of it is overripe, well, guess what? The ethylene emitted, well, it affects the fruit around it. And the same way, it causes the other fruit to ripen too quickly and rot as well. It does do that. Similarly, an apple that's got mold on it, it's infested with mold. If it's placed with good apples, what happens is the mold searches for other food sources, and it spreads, and it can contaminate all the fruit that's gathered together. So, in effect, yes, chain reaction is caused, and one rotten apple can spoil the whole bunch. Well, that's in the physical sense. Certainly that's not true spiritually, is it? Or could it be, whether we like it or not, that the fruit of the Spirit can be adversely affected by the rotten fruit that we have in our lives? So what do we do? Well, we've seen consistently we've got to get rid of the rotten fruit. Got to get rid of that, right? Got to clean house. We've got to get rid of that. That's a chore. That is a job. That's a immense task. And it's not a job that we can do on our own. A lot of people try to clean up their lives, think they got to do that before they even come to Christ. No, you come to Christ confessing that you've got a lot of rotten fruit, doing that, admitting that, and recognizing that you need Him to forgive you and to begin a process within you through His Spirit to cleanse. The prompting of the Spirit is that He wants to do cleansing work in us, so that His fruit will have room, and it won't be choked out either. And in the weeks to come, we're going to look at that idea too with vegetation that Jesus Himself talks about. Where do we begin? Well, again, I would say the first thing you need to do is, yes, begin with some heartfelt prayer, recognizing your condition, your situation. How many of you desire to have the fruit of the Spirit displayed in your life all the time? Sure you do. How many of you believe that's what's happening all the time? That there's never a time when you maybe, well, you have that fit of rage. No, we don't call it that. And we feel it's justified when we do it, but maybe we lose our temper. Or we're impatient and that comes out and it's displayed. Or we're sweet and good until somebody rubs us the wrong way. And then, we get abrasive. Can we all admit that's the reality? Even if we believe that the fruit of the Spirit is what we're producing and displaying most of the time? So we need to start with some prayer, admitting that, confessing that. First of all, again, accepting that we need Jesus. We need Jesus to save us from ourselves. We need that. And we need His Spirit. We need God and His Spirit to do this cleansing work within us. David, the man of God's own heart, prayed, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew your spirit within me." Some versions say a steadfast spirit. The actual Hebrew in it is indicating that steadfast spirit does belong to God. It's not a matter of just give me more willpower. It's again, God, your power needs to take control in my life. Do you recognize that? Understand that. That we need more than just a heart cleaned up by our workings, our doings. We need God. We need God to come in and do that work. We need Him so desperately. If David understood that, we ought to understand that. We should. With that prayer, with that asking again Him to do that, we need to trust that He will. And then there is a need to cooperate with Him, with the Spirit of God in that work. Our text says we are to live by the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. I don't think that's really two different things. If we're truly going to be living by the Spirit, we're going to have to be led by the Spirit to do that. Because what's the problem? Is our flesh is in conflict with that. Didn't Paul say that in Galatians? Our flesh is in conflict with that. We don't necessarily want to do that. We're like that child who mother wants to lead by the hand who says, "Nay! I don't want to go in that direction. I want to go over here." But the Spirit of God will be leading us in the way He wants us to go. And He's going to be saying, a lot of times there's some baggage you're carrying that you need to get rid of so that you can follow me in the way that I'm directing you, that I can lead you, that you can live in the ways of God. So we got to not only ask Him to give us this clean heart, we're going to ask Him to help us with the process of doing some inventory. I was talking to one of my relatives this past week as we were also talking about the need to do a house clearing for my in-laws. And they've been married for a lot of years, in the same house for a lot of years, and they've accumulated a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. In the house, in the attic, in some sheds. I think there's three or four sheds full of stuff, too. They've got a lot of stuff. Now, none of us have that kind of problem. We don't have too much stuff. We haven't accumulated stuff. We haven't gathered stuff. Well, we tend to more than we might think we do. And so we need some help, spiritually speaking, just like we're going to need some help with that situation. And what my brother-in-law actually told me that he did on a process of just clearing out his garage, and this sounds like a good idea, he emptied the garage totally first, cleared it. But he made three piles. Here was a pile of the stuff definitely to keep. Here was a pile of that stuff definitely goes in the trash. But there was this real big pile in the middle, like, not sure what to keep. Can anybody identify with that? You know, what do I keep? Maybe it's even just going through your closet, you might do that. You say, well, this sweater, I can still get some life out of that. Or this is a favorite of mine, you know, I'm going to hang on to this. And my wife, matter of fact, she's saying, you need to clean your closet out. There's some stuff there that needs to go. I said, yeah, but I still like that shirt. She said, but look at it. Yeah, but I like it. You know, so, but there's stuff that, you know, that needs to be sorted through like that, and we're going to need some help with the Spirit. He actually consulted some people in the family. You know what? What do you think about this? Should I keep this or not? It'd be a good thing to consult the Spirit, because there are things, I will be honest with you, in my life that are obviously, and didn't Paul say that? They're obviously wrong. They're obviously works of the flesh, sinful nature. They got to go. They got to go. Now, there's some things that I believe with a lot of people, they do know it's got to go. It should go, but it's hard to let go of. It's a habit. It's a practice. It's a mode of behavior that they have had for years and years and years, and it's just hard to let go of that. But we should be able to, with the Spirit's help, tell what obviously is to be gotten rid of. And we should know what's obviously to stay. The things of God. There should be some things. We just know. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. I got to keep those, right? I don't want those to be thrown out of my life. I don't want to discard those. Those, again, I want to make sure they have. But there may be some other things, like in the middle. Well, God, I just need your help. I'm just not sure about this. Maybe some priorities. Maybe some things that I haven't given enough thought about, whether is that cluttering my life? Is that taking up some space in my life that I'm giving too much attention to? Has it become even an idol to me? Is it something that I just cherish and treasure more than God wants me to, that He wants me to let it go? It could be even some unforgiveness that we have in our heart over something that happened a long, long time ago. And we've been carrying it around. We pull it out once in a while and look at it, and we know it ought to go, but we're not ready to let go of it. What will the Spirit prompt us to do? He'll help us do the inventory of what goes and what stays. And what stays. Will we be able to do this in one fair swoop, one and done? No. No. It begins with the Spirit and it'll end with the Spirit. As I often ask people this, and when I'm looking at this text in Ephesians 4 about getting rid of things, how often do you take out the trash in your home? I mean, is that a once-a-year thing? Is that a once-in-a-lifetime thing? No. When you recognize it, the trash is building up, right? What do? Well, you put it, you get it away. And then what do? Well, when that starts to build up and overflow, what do? Well, you take it out maybe to your garage or out the side somewhere, and then once a week maybe you take it to the curb. And then what do they do with it? If you just left it on the curb, that would still be not what you want, right? You want that as far away from you as possible. Amen? As far away from you as possible. And they come and they take it to the landfill or whatever. Spiritually speaking, When we recognize these things growing in us, bitterness, anger, deceit, impatience, irritability all the time, just let them build? No. When we recognize them, kick them to the curb and ask God to take them away. Isn't it a beautiful thing in the Scripture that says He takes our sin as far away as from the east to the west? Isn't that great? He removes it from us. But we can't do it. What we do is press it down, push it down, and eventually it overflows. And what's that cause? It's not good. It's not pretty. It's not good. So we need to do that. I actually wrote for myself a prayer, okay? Thinking about all this, and I'll read it to you. And I'd encourage you maybe to make something like it your prayer. Lord, I confess my heart is a mess. It's cluttered with worry and doubt, fear and anxiety. Cobwebs of selfishness cling to every corner. The dust of deceitful desires and the grit of greed have built up over time. In the recesses of my mind reside regret and rebellion. Bitterness litters the floor. This is not a fit place for you to even come and visit, let alone to live. The garbage keeps you at a distance. So what can I do? I can only seek your face and plead for you to come in anyway and clean house and restore my heart. Help me to be rid of all that prevents others from seeing that I am yours. I belong to you. Fill me with your Spirit and desire to maintain a clean heart each and every day. That is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Can any of you identify with that? And maybe you look in and you say, well, my house is a lot cleaner than yours, evidently, Steve, but we've all got some cleaning needs to be done, I'm sure, before the Spirit of God can truly, truly be displayed as He wishes to. And guess what? One of the things that occurs to me that is the greatest display of the Spirit of God's power and presence is when He starts cleaning house. Will we invite Him to do that? That's the question. If you today recognize you need some cleaning work done, you need some cleansing, you need that, maybe desperately, then we'd invite you to, yes, begin with prayer. Let us pray with you if you'd like. Come up and we'll pray with you about that. We'll counsel you about that. And again, inviting Jesus and the Spirit in means, yeah, He's going to clean house. He's going to do that. That's what He wants to do. But He's willing and He's able to do that which we can't do.